It's 11:06 on WSIC News Radio, and you're listening to We're Just Saying with Senator Vicki Sawyer and David. If you'd like to be part of our show, 844-STUDIO-4, we are streaming live on the WSIC News website. You can also go to the WSIC app to view us there. Senator Sawyer, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited for the show today.
I gotta tell you, me too. We were off last week, but it was held down fantastically by your husband, Mr. Brett Sawyer. Did a great job for us last week.
But
it's good to be back.
He did. I dressed in honor of you today.
Really?
I did.
And in what way did you dress in honor
of me? Well, I felt guilty about smack-talking you for matching your shirt and your shoes.
As well, you should have.
And I realized that was pretty shallow of me, and I want to make a public apology. And I also bring that apology in the form of matching shirt and shoes today.
You matched your shirt and your shoes today. It felt good, didn't it?
It did.
It feels good to be matching, doesn't it? Thank you.
I got a new pair of Adidas Kicks, and they've got a little bit of a red on the back of them with some blue stripes. And so I wore a reddish shirt to match and my blue jeans to match the blue stripes. And so I'm a la David Koble today.
Well, it feels good, doesn't it? And you got up, you look, and you said, wow, there's something to this.
Yeah.
Putting that little extra effort in.
I know.
A little coordination.
I just feel like a better person.
Yes. Well done, Senator. Well, son. Welcome to the dark side.
I know. Now, if I start getting a tennis shoe habit like you, I think I need a little bit of help there to pull me out of that dark side.
You have various and sundry outfits that you have to coordinate
yes.
with. So you need the appropriate shoe collection to match.
Apparently so. My black pumps are just not going to do it.
No. I mean, the general black pumps, they do in a pinch, but you really need to be more coordinated.
So, question next week. I'm kind of having like this debut. It's the first time ever that I am helped with running the Republican Women's Caucus Breakfast.
Really?
Yeah.
And the Republicans Women's Conference Caucus Breakfast includes all the lovely ladies of the legislature that are Republicans.
That are Republican. And it's a tradition that was started by my predecessors, and namely Representative Julia Howard, who serves in Davie County, close to where we are here. And she kind of gave me this role. I don't think there was a vote. I think it was more like a phone call about 3 years ago and said, Vicki, you're going to do this. And if you know Julia Howard, you're like, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, I am. Yes, ma'am, I am. So she took the training wheels off, and she's given me the job of doing the Republican Women's Breakfast, and I'm nervous.
Well, are you gonna knock it out of the park?
The question is we all wear red.
Uh-huh.
Should I get red shoes to match?
Yes.
Okay.
Why is that even a question?
I don't know. Just because, you know, how many times are you going to wear red pumps, red shoes?
Is that a trick question? I mean, if I had my way.
Would you wear your red pumps every day? Yeah.
No, it's not really where I was going with that.
Okay.
Not really where I was going with that.
So we all wear red, and then a lot of folks come in, and I'm really excited. You know, this is the first time we have done it as a fundraiser, we moved locations. I moved it from the traditional spot to a new spot. Nervous. And then I was talking to Caitlin, who's helping me with organization, and we got nearly 100 people coming.
Wow.
I'm nervous.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
I'm starting to feel the heat.
You're a preparer, and so I'm sure that you will do a fantastic job.
We'll find out.
And if you don't, this will be Julia Howard will call you and say, Vicki, you're not doing this ever again.
Yes. I will be removed in
yes,
shame.
Yes, you will. Yes.
Shame.
There'll be no like impeachment vote or anything like that. It'll just be subsequently removed from office.
Yeah, exactly. The same way I came is the way how I get out.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
God.
But speaking of Raleigh, ready to kick back up again.
Yes.
And some good news. You got the good news.
I
know that there's been a lot of talk down there that, you know, during short session, for those who don't know what short session is, it's a shorter session where you do cleaning up of some legislation. You might pass a couple of regulatory things, fix mm-hmm. some things in the budget, but it's really designed to be sort of uneventful generally, right?
Hopefully,
right? And hopefully it is short. Right.
Yeah.
But I know going in, sometimes some people do come back for some funding for additional projects that maybe weren't part of the budget round during long session.
Sure.
And you guys got some good news. Actually, there's the surplus is actually bigger than what the projections were.
The forecasted surplus. The Ford class did is about $1.4 billion more than what they had forecasted before. So it's interesting, or it's really cool that Republican policy works. Mm-hmm. We cut taxes and more money comes in.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Huzzah. 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 Although, we were talking about the short session, and I do kind of worry about this short session. I saw on the upcoming calendar that there is a Democratic woman holding a press conference each and every week during the short session. It doesn't say, it just says Representative such and such has a press conference on Wednesday, the next week, Wednesday, the next week, Wednesday. So,
and they're all women?
Yeah, so far. Yeah, so far. So I'm sure there's something that they are going to be playing up their sleeve, because even though this is a short session, it's sometimes folks use it to get earned media, mm-hmm. right? To make political speeches on the floor so that they can promote themselves in a contentious general election. Mm-hmm. North Carolina is ground zero for this presidential election coming up, or at least they keep telling us that.
Yeah.
Even though I saw polling today, I think Pete Callender tweeted it out, that Trump is up like 6 or 7 here in North Carolina.
Yes. Yeah, that's the last. That's,
is that, that what you that saw
was,
too?
That's what I saw too, yeah.
Yeah, so they keep on saying grounds. And that's getting outside of the margin of error.
It is. And to be fair, I think Trump will likely win by every bit of that,
yeah.
Or more. And I know North Carolina, it was, you know, closer. You know, he won both times he ran, but mm-hmm. they weren't by big percentages at the time. And so, but I feel like that, you know, North Carolina itself, much more inclined to give Trump a bigger victory this time around, yeah. than the last two times that he ran.
Well, I do see that the Democratic Party is probably going to pull out all stops, because they're going to have national attention brought to North Carolina, and especially General Assembly. So I could imagine that some of those members are going to be weaponizing their political office, yeah. for political gain.
Well, and the fact that all the names that have come out have been, you know, women, I'm sure that obviously Trump will be a target. I'm sure, yeah. Governor or Lieutenant Governor Robinson are going to be a target.
Sure.
And some of them may be looking to get their free media, but mm-hmm. it'll be, I'm sure it's, you know, it's the nature of the game. There'll be a lot of grandstanding. I'm sure they'll have individual issues that they've been,
yeah.
assigned,
yeah.
That they need to speak about. And I'm sure that there'll just randomly be a political action committee, independent expenditure thing out there that just happens to send a mailer out based off what they said. No coordination, yeah, whatsoever.
None.
But I'm sure it's just, they were always going to send that mailer out. They just happened to speak on it that day.
Yeah.
Crazy coincidence, right? I'm sure that's the way it'll work.
Yeah. Yeah. For you folks who are listening, and that's a lot of inside baseball, but it actually happens.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to see in the short session. And I really do not enjoy that part of this, because those are hallowed grounds that we walk into and we are like discussing law, and you should really leave politics at the door. But unfortunately, it gets on the floor and people make these campaign speeches, and I don't think you'll ever see me do that. I'm not comfortable talking on the floor that much.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm going to be able to persuade anybody whatsoever on the floor. You pretty much made up your mind at that point.
Yeah, and that's fair. I would be interested to know if a floor speech ever moved anybody one way or the other on anything, or except make somebody mad.
Yeah,
and I'm sure, yes, that's happened.
But you watch
these speeches on C-SPAN and stuff like that, and half the room's empty, and practically the ones that are there aren't listening.
That's right.
You're listening to We're Just Saying on WSIC News. We'll be right back.
With more of NC Senator Vicki Sawyer and We're Just Saying after this short break on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call now to speak with NC Senator Vicki Sawyer at 844-STUDIO-4. It's We're Just Saying on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Little twang.
Little twang.
Welcome back to We're Just Saying on WSIC News with Senator Vicki Sawyer and David. So yeah, I'm sorry, I'm discombobulated.
Okay. Well,
844 Studio 4. Let me give him my thing. 844 Studio 4 if you want to be part of the show. Streaming live on the WSIC News website and app. Okay, now go.
You get full grace. Because your tweet today, I mean, you've been a little saucy.
Well,
you're a little saucy. So there was some issues that you've handled. But one that you really need to get off your chest, I think. Well,
so you obviously saw the WBTV,
yes.
News show on moratorium in Mooresville. And I was like, good Lord, this again?
So what we're talking about is there were some concerned citizens out of that Mooresville area who were voicing frustration over growth, right?
Right. Yeah, and right. Which totally justified. Not a problem with that.
Right.
But there has been this misconception put out there.
Okay.
And the news story did not do a good job representing what a moratorium is, how it works. A couple of minutes on the School of Government website could have answered a lot of questions for them. And they seem to go out there to pick out one little stat that they liked. Which it's what they do. Fine. There's a hook to the story, right? But people have been led to believe that we need a moratorium, that it's some kind of silver bullet to solve traffic on 150 and slow down growth enough for the infrastructure roads to catch up, okay? A moratorium is a very specific legal designation laid out in North Carolina General Statute, and there are specific rules to which it applies, okay? And when the Mooresville held a working group of a number of folks, some county officials, citizens, town officials, and Bill Thunberg, who was actually on the show. I wish we'd heard from him more, but made comment, and the conclusion of that group was that they could not implement a moratorium, and they can't. Okay, but the story and some of those concerned. One of them is not even a citizen of Mooresville. May have Mooresville address, but is not a Mooresville citizen. Said, "Oh yeah, this moratorium conversation not over. You can absolutely do it. No, you can't." Okay, and let me just sort of lay out why a moratorium can't work for Mooresville.
Okay,
so one. The big thing that people say, they don't want more houses. They don't want more apartments. They don't want any more residential until the infrastructure catches up, right?
Okay.
The roads. Here's the problem. A moratorium cannot apply to residential development if the purpose is to maintain the status quo to update plans, to develop plans. That's not how – you can't do it.
Okay.
So you can't say, oh, we're not going to do any more residential while we make plans for traffic. You can't do that. The statute says you can't do that. The School of Government has an article that lays out why you can't do that. All right. But let's assume that you could.
Okay.
All right. Mooresville has several thousand residential units that are approved, ready to come out of the ground. Okay.
Okay.
And a ton more that are already in process to go through development. A moratorium cannot apply to anything that is already vested rights and rezoned and set to be able to come out of the ground.
Right.
And it cannot apply to anything that is in flight as the time of the moratorium was put in place. So you still are going to be approving residential through that entire time.
Okay.
And a moratorium requires that there be a specific problem that is going to be addressed, a specific time frame that it's going to be in place, and then a specific solution that you are on the hook for as a city to implement. So if you're saying no more residential approval until 150 is widened, then you are obligating the city to widen 150.
Right.
That is the way this works.
Right.
You don't get to say, we're just going to pause because traffic's a problem. Oh, but when 150 is widened, it's okay. So we'll just wait for 150 to be widened. No, that doesn't work. You have to have a specific plan to address it, and then you're on the hook for it.
Right.
Okay? So that's basically saying the city will now pay to widen 150.
Right.
City didn't have the money to widen 150.
No.
150 is already funded. 150 is already in flight. Utilities have been moved and everything like that. So the reason and the push for a moratorium is what irritates me is that it shines some kind of level of hope out there for people that simply is not there.
Right.
It is not a practical solution. One, you can't do it for the reasons they want to do it. The way you get a moratorium is if you do not have water and sewer capacity.
Correct.
That's pretty much the only way.
Right.
Traffic being bad is not a reason.
Right.
Okay. Here's something else.
Ooh.
Anyone can challenge who feels aggrieved by a moratorium can challenge it in court through an expedited process.
Okay.
That means if I'm a landowner and I had my land under contract with somebody to get it developed, and they were going in for, and they were getting ready to submit their application for rezoning, as a property owner, I am now not able to execute that transaction because they can't go through the process of getting rezoned.
Oh.
So I can go to the judge and I can say, Judge, I'm aggrieved by this. I had a contract. I'm ready to sell my property. I had a firm offer and now I can't because of this moratorium. Judge asks, why was the moratorium implemented? Traffic. No, doesn't work like that. So even if a municipality said, we're going to do it anyway, there's an expedited judicial process to go through, and the judge is going to look at what's required for moratorium and is going to say, nope, traffic is not a valid reason. Just like traffic is not a valid reason to turn down a project when it appears before a board, by state statute, it is not a valid reason to put in a moratorium. So everyone out there listening, if someone is tickling your ears with the idea that a moratorium in Mooresville is the silver bullet cure-all, they are ill-informed or they are lying to you.
Oh.
And that is simply the fact of the matter.
Okay.
And I'm just, and I, it frustrates me
right.
because you got a news organization that dredges this back up again with a little bit of simple research and conversations with people who might actually know what they're talking about.
Right.
Would have fixed it.
Right.
Now, it probably wouldn't have made the air because it's much more fun to talk about everybody getting mad and wanting a moratorium. That's much more fun. But soapbox done. But I just but it's been irritating me all week after watching that story.
Yeah. So I passed a bill out of the Senate and it's stuck in the House in regards to allowing for a moratorium for things that are outside the control of the city. But to me, a moratorium is really, it's only 60 days. And you have to keep on renewing it over and over and over again. You know, most plans take, what, a year and a half to go through the planning process anyway? It's like a year to get it from the beginning to end.
Yeah, and it's really for
updating. So you're really not, you know, a moratorium, there's it's only 60 days.
Yeah.
We're not talking about 6 years. We're talking about 60 days.
Right.
So, okay, you know, again, that silver bullet to fix it is wrong. And, you know, it always surprises me. I love the folks who move in here. I do. I appreciate and have really good friends who didn't grow up here, right? And most of us do. Invariably, but though, the folks who get frustrated are the ones who just moved here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the ones I hear from the most. And I think some of the people in that news was like, have been here maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
Where did you... Where did you think your house came from, buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
Did it just pop out of the ground and put some water on it? And now you got it. No, it was farmland. It was, you know, redone and reused and rezoned and built so that you can have your house that now is appreciating value because more people are moving in here, more services, and just a great quality of life.
Yeah, we've addressed this before. I mean, you know, you're a conservative Republican, so am I. We're big on property rights.
Right.
Okay? And these people have a right to sell their property, to develop their property as they choose. Mm-hmm. If you don't want someone, if you don't want the farm next door
to
sell their land for development, if you want to make sure that those trees are always there, if you want to make sure those grassy fields are always there, the simple solution is you buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can do whatever you want with it.
Exactly.
But it is completely out of line to advocate for positions that impact another person's ability to do with their property. We have a constitution that specifically talks about these things, right? Life, liberty, property. Right? That's America right there.
Okay. It was pursuit of happiness.
Well, yeah, that too. But what makes a lot of people happy is being able to sell their land for houses. It'd make them very happy.
Yeah. What you're saying is the only way to control the view is to own the view.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And that's what, if you like those trees, buy them.
Yeah.
All right. And they'll always be there.
Yeah.
And I can't afford them. Then.
Yeah.
You know what? We've hit a snag.
Yeah. And not to say that folks who are frustrated with traffic like me, that isn't a valid concern.
Oh, no, it absolutely
not,
is.
Not belittling any of that, because I do understand the concern and the congestion. And it's getting better. It's going to get better. We are fixing it as we speak,
yes.
Right? The NCDOT will have these roads under construction, 73 and 150. The beautiful lake is just really tough for transportation, right?
Yes.
I mean, you can't build a road over the water unless it's a bridge, right?
It's time for the channel.
It is time. For, you know what?
It's time for the channel.
Have you been seeing what Elon Musk's company's done out
I
in
have
Vegas?
Been seeing that.
The loop?
Yep.
Have you seen?
I have.
Okay, so check this out. That next iteration of his boring company. So this is the boring company, and they
not his boring company as in snooze type company.
Yeah.
It's like boring as in drilling underneath the ground.
Drill. So the next iteration of his boring machine will be able to bore a 14-foot hole circumference, 1 mile in 1 month.
Wow.
And have it done.
Wow.
1 mile in 1 month. Now, if you compare that to other mass transit options, it's like 1 mile in 84 months.
Yeah.
But that also the cost to bore that 1 mile is like something like $14 million a mile. And the latest light rail stuff I've heard is like $84 million a mile.
Wow.
So yeah. I think it's time to talk about the tunnel.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's time to talk about the tunnel.
I agree. And that or a monorail. I would love a monorail.
Like, you know, a Disney monorail?
Yes.
Oh God.
I think that'd be fantastic. David. Or those buckets. What if we installed those buckets?
David.
People can ride the buckets across the lake.
David.
Look, just because I have a vision and okay. You know, I'm seeing fair. I'm looking out into the future. Don't belittle it.
Fair. I will say
have you not learned from belittling me about matching my clothes to
fair,
my shoes?
Fair. But I will say that I really enjoy looking at this future technology like the tunnel or the Boring Company or even manned drones. Mm-hmm. And sometimes then when you're talking about rail, it seems like it's an 18th century solution to a 21st century problem. Mm-hmm. And we need to update this thing. So I'm very, very intrigued by the loop.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
And again, and it's like you said, when we were talking about this, traffic concerns completely valid, completely understand them.
Right.
The ultimate point is the moratorium is not your solution.
Correct.
That is not going to take care of it.
No.
You're listening to We're Just Saying on WSIC News Radio. We'll be right back.
With us. We'll have more of We're Just Saying with NC Senator Vicki Sawyer after this short break on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now back to We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicki Sawyer on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to WSIC News Radio, and We're Just Saying with Senator Vicki Sawyer. If you'd like to be part of our show, why do you do that? 844 Studio 4, streaming live on the WSIC News website app. You're infuriating sometimes. You know that?
I just know that you're on fire today. You're a little saucy, so I'm just sprinkling it on there. Just sprinkling
you're
it on there.
You're trying to provoke me.
I am, completely.
You need to stop.
Although, that if you had seen what I said during the break, then
yeah, you got a little saucy during the break there, little miss.
I was a little saucy myself.
Hot meat kettle.
I know.
Well, we're not talking about what you got saucy about.
Okay, no, we're not. No.
But let's talk about your job, you know, as a senator. And
it's
you know,
not a job. It's a service.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a privilege as well.
Privilege and a service. It's not
Got
a job.
It. Well, let's talk about your privilege and service that you're down this short session as a senator is getting ready to kick back off. What are some of the things besides a few budget related items? What are some things that you see coming out of short session?
Well, you know, I do see there is a couple things around immigration that a lot of our folks I'm hearing from really want us to address. One of them is a bill that actually we passed in the legislature, I think in 2018, and it was requiring sheriffs to cooperate with ICE.
Yes.
Okay, so Governor Cooper vetoed it back then. Representative Bell, who's the rules chairman and probably going to be the next speaker of the House, has championed this bill. And it basically, but our own sheriff in Mecklenburg County actually ran on a promise of not cooperating with ICE. And I think there's a few other sheriffs, maybe one in Guilford and Wake, who said that when they detain someone that they don't necessarily have to tell ICE that they have them. Mm-hmm. And so ICE is what
immigration and naturalization control and enforcement.
Yeah. And, you know, we're seeing an uptick of people who are not from this country committing heinous crimes against American citizens. It seems like you see it in the news. New York City's not safe. I mean, there's just craziness going on. So right now, some sheriffs are opting not to cooperate with ICE. I know I spoke with our sheriff of Iredell County, Darren Campbell, who's also the chair of the or president of the Sheriff's Association. He does, right? And so a lot of sheriffs do. There's just a few outliers who might not. But it's basically to say, hey, you got this guy or lady, you feel like they're illegal or you know that they're illegal. Then you need to contact the federal government and tell them that you have someone. And remember, this is someone who has been arrested already.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're just walking down the street and plucking people out. It is someone who has committed a crime and has been detained and arrested.
Yes.
That so we're not talking about the best of the best here.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it seems like a no-brainer. David, I never thought that we would have conversations like this in my life.
Really?
Well, like, you're asking a law enforcement to hold up the law.
Yeah.
Like, we have to pass laws to make people follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's very crazy. Of course, I mean, I never thought we'd be having conversations where boys could be girls. So, we're really out in Never Never Land at this point.
Did you see the Fourth Circuit? This judge actually knocked or took out the West Virginia Fairness Women's Sports Act and said, knocked it out. And
I did not see that.
Yeah, so I got a text from a lawyer who really tracks and follows this well, and I'd like to articulate as well as she could what happened. But I think it was like a temporary injunction until it's heard again. But are you kidding me? It just makes no sense.
No, it makes absolutely no sense. And I know, and it's on the immigration front. I know you were talking about an amendment to the North Carolina Constitution.
Correct.
That's come up before, but it's come back up again around voting and citizenship.
So our three senators in one close by is Senator Brad Overcash, Senator Warren Daniel, who's been on the show before, and Senator Buck Newton. All lawyers, you know, I love me some lawyers. I've got this saying that if you have one lawyer in the room, you know every answer to every question. But you have two, you know nothing at all.
I say that's fair. Our good friend Larry Shaheen, who's been on here a couple of times, will probably agree with that.
Yeah, I was just like, gosh, mighty. So anyway, so these guys are very respected lawyers, and their interpretation of the Constitution says that there could be an activist court that would allow people who are not legal aliens to vote in North Carolina elections according to our Constitution. So they have a bill to propose that we all go vote in November to shore up the language to make it very, very clear that you have to be a citizen in order to vote.
Okay.
You're looking confused.
Well, I am, just because, it basically says that, I mean, from the U.S. Constitution to the North Carolina Constitution, you've got to be a citizen
right
to vote. Well, so I'm curious where the loophole is.
Okay, so it says, well, it's a lawyer, right? Well, than one lawyer. So
every lawyer can find a loophole.
That's the loophole.
Every lawyer can find a loophole.
So the Constitution says, now every person born in the United States and every person who has been naturalized 18 years of age and possessing the qualifications set out in this article shall be entitled to vote at any election by the people of the state. Okay.
Okay.
They want to change it to the new language to say only a citizen of the United States who is 18 years of age and possessing the qualifications set out on this article shall be entitled to vote.
So I guess
it's the naturalized.
So I guess basically I assume the loophole is because the article does not specifically address non-citizens, mm-hmm. It only addresses citizen qualifications to vote. A judge could say, well, there's nothing prohibiting a non-citizen to vote. That's just laying out what the qualifications are for a citizen to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that as a potential loophole. And given some of the stupid things that come out of our courts and rulings, I mean, look at what, whether you like President Trump or not, the railroading he is getting in the judicial system right now in New York should offend everybody. So I guess when you see that, you can start to look at this and understand, well, yeah, no, we need to shore this kind of stuff up, given what's going on in our judiciary now, because it's just become so highly politicized.
I wonder if they'll take an amendment on the floor for me to stop electioneering at polling locations and to ban signs, political signs in the right of way,
I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say no one's going to bring it up for you since you don't like talking on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And as such, no, I don't think that's going to make a cut.
I think I'll just say a friendly amendment, sir. A friendly amendment to your constitutional. Can we put this to the vote of the people? Yeah. I wonder if it would pass. If you put no electioneering at the polling location on a ballot, do you think? I bet it would pass.
You know, here's the thing is I think a lot of people would probably be like you and get behind that.
Uh-huh.
I think there might be a few people who enjoy that whole First Amendment thing.
Boo.
Yeah, that kind of like you know, I don't know if you saw the there was that story on NPR bias and everything like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And the lady, I guess, that heads NPR was doing an interview and made the statement that, you know, the biggest hindrance to them being able to really do what they need to do is the First Amendment.
I guess you're
not down with that free speech thing, and that's okay. But I think with the electioneering thing, there'd be some free speech folks that might have a challenge with that.
Possibly. But if we, that First Amendment just gets in the way every time.
It does. As the NPR lady pointed out,
it just gets in the way every time. I do know that there are some insiders talking about gaming again, and I'm just exhausted talking about gambling. I
just don't feel like that's something that really would, I mean, in short session, given the way it went out during long session, picking that up in short session would, I just got to think, would be difficult.
Well, I guess it depends on what type of gaming we're going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
So there's these things called video lottery terminals.
VLTs.
VLT. And there's a lot of interest to expand that business in North Carolina, but it's not really an expansion.
Yeah, we already have them.
They're everywhere. I think the sheriff in Onslow County recently did a sting, and there was, gosh, I don't know, like over 20, 30 things, people that he went and busted, and like that was just in one day.
Wow.
So there are these illegal gambling machines that don't have guaranteed payout.
Mm.
Remember, if we regulate it, then there is a guaranteed payout, like you go in Vegas, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you also have regulations around who operates it and what's going to happen. And then guess what? You also get a bunch of tax money out of it too.
You actually get a bunch of tax money. Right. And to clarify, for the VLTs, they are different than slot machines in the sense of they are intended, designed, supposedly, mm-hmm. to be games of skill. And then any payouts and things like that come based off of a skill-based model versus a slot machine, which is just a straight random chance of a payout.
Thank you for telling me that. I did not know.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was
That's the distinction that they make between them, because the VLT is supposed to be technically a game of skill.
Okay, gotcha. So we have these games that are being illegally operated all over North Carolina and have been for years. They're a plague on some of these locations mm-hmm. that I've seen in these poor or rural communities where these folks are doing this stuff. So this is just a way to regulate, legalize, tax, and move on. And yeah. I actually support it. I think this is what we're going to do. I mean, freedom.
Yeah. Well,
freedom.
Yeah.
You get freedom to make choices.
Well, and to be fair, those machines are a lot. We have a lottery and had a lottery for a long time now.
Right.
And that is a random game of chance. There is no skill whatsoever, despite what people who pick their numbers might tell you. There is no skill whatsoever involved in that. So at least with these, by mm-hmm. the way they're intended to be designed, mm-hmm. there's at least some skill base on your part in order to try to achieve the payout.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's my thing is like, look, if we have the lottery, if you don't have a problem with the lottery, why do you have a problem with this?
Yeah, right.
It's like, I mean, it's going to prey on the poor. Well, that was the exact argument that was made about the lottery.
Right.
And it's there anyway.
Right.
Right. And so it's just like, look, if you're going to, once the door's open, I mean,
the door's open.
That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see if that gets brought up here in short session.
Yeah.
Probably no casinos, though.
Right? Nah, I don't know. We'll see. Right. I just like talking about it so much. I just want to keep it going.
Well, there you go. You're listening to We're Just Saying on WSIC News. We'll be right back.
We'll return with more of NC Senator Vicki Sawyer and We're Just Saying after this short break on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now more We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicki Sawyer on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to We're Just Saying on WSIC News Radio with Senator Vicki Sawyer and David. Lucky part of the show, 844 Studio 4. We are still streaming live on the WSIC News website and app. So,
congratulations.
I got through it.
You got through it. Well, I didn't mess with you.
You didn't mess with me.
I would like a little credit for that. I'm just kidding.
You'd like credit for doing the right thing.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. Huzzah.
Huzzah. I'm proud you could restrain yourself.
Hey, I'm going to give somebody else some credit for something.
Okay.
The Democrats be doing some stuff.
Yeah. You were telling me during the break about some of the things going on, and I'm like, yeah, really?
No, it's kind of icky.
Yeah.
All right. So there's been two Democrats, and I'm not sure if there's other ones, but one of the committees that we're on is called the Joint Legislative Commission on Government Operations, in short, GovOps.
GovOps.
Okay. So we're supposed to be oversight and all that other stuff. Well, the High School Athletic Association kind of has a little thing to do with this, but not them mm-hmm. this time. They're not the bad guy this time. But when we were going through all that struggle with the High School Athletic Association, they were at one point refusing to turn over information to the General Assembly because they said that they were a separate entity.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the legislative tweaks that we did is that, hey, if you are in contract with the state of North Carolina, then you do need to turn over certain materials and information based on like auditing and all that other stuff because you're using public money.
Right.
Right. Right. Blah, blah. So yay for us, but also yay for the Dems.
Yeah.
So they are playing politics like no tomorrow. I told you about the women with the Democratic women with each week's press conference, right? That's coming up. Well, then senators, there's two senators who are on this commission or this committee, and they use the letterhead of the committee without the committee meeting, and they sent out, one sent out letters to every pregnancy center that gets money, which a pregnancy center, reminds you, is where young women, or I guess old women, but any woman who has an unplanned pregnancy and is looking for services to help her, and they will guide and help her to have the baby, and whether that's through adoption or foster care or just to have the baby, put her in touch. That's a pregnancy crisis center. That's what they get. Mm-hmm. They get money from us, which is performing a very valuable service, right? I mean, The option isn't always just to, you know, have an abortion. There is another option, right?
Right.
Which is to have the baby. That is an option. So they sent this really, really nasty letter, obviously drafted by some attorney in a hole somewhere, and was demanding that they turn over all of their information. They were citing this general statute that we tweaked because of the High School Athletic Association, and then they threatened them with like some kind of criminal penalty in there. I mean, it was, so that was the first one that came out. And then,
but to be fair, the statute says if you are contracted with the state,
I believe so, but directly or indirectly public funds to the extent the document relates to the receipt, purpose, or implementation of pregnant, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I mean, but here's the thing, it's presented as if the committee is asking.
Yeah.
It's just a member who got a hold of a letterhead.
Right.
That's a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
A huge difference. There are rules. Huge. Huge. There are rules that we abide by, and we, you know, do that. And so this is pretty slick, so what they're doing. And of course the pregnancy centers are like freaking out. Do I need to do this? Do I not? Mm-hmm. Well, they have representation, and the lawyer that represents them and told them, no, you do not have to, you know, to cease and desist. Well, we had that. Then the next week, guess what came out?
What?
Another senator did a letter to private schools that are Christian, and the same thing, and asking for like tons of information because they got opportunity scholarship money. And again, under the same level letterhead and with the same threat of criminal prosecution.
So here's my thing. The GovOps has oversight, my understanding, of anything related to government operations.
Sure.
Right?
Hence
the name. Thus, if the government is contracted with a firm to perform a service, as public institutions like the schools and the state are contracted with the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, receives money from the schools in order to do all their stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're contracted with state things that are controlled by the state, right?
Right.
So it is perfectly appropriate for GovOps to have oversight over things like that. Christian schools and pregnancy centers are not contracted by the state to perform a service. They are individual nonprofits performing their own service that have received government funds. Mm-hmm. There is a big difference. I'm glad the attorney told them they didn't have to comply because there's a huge difference between the High School Athletic Association and these organizations.
Okay, so we can both agree easily that the policy that they are citing is bunk.
Yes.
It's just crap.
Yes.
What's the political play, though? Like, is it a bait? Are they trying to bait Republicans into doing or saying something? Or is it just as shallow as just going after these two things that they don't like? Or is it a bigger picture of they refuse to acknowledge or to respond and they are secretly taking money for Christian services and blah, separation? Like, where's the – there is a bigger play here for these senators to be doing this.
So
I wonder what it is.
See, I think you're on the right track. I think that what the goal of this would be is to do this, get people who work in those jobs are largely Republicans.
Sure.
And so to get them scared, contacting you all, and then for you all to
somehow try to do something
to stop it,
yeah,
come out against it, and then they have the opportunity to say, well, you don't believe in government oversight. What are you hiding?
Right,
you'll
right.
send all these stuff to your far right-wing people, but you don't want oversight of it. I mean, that's probably where they're going to go.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be, A, setting up for some kind of political mailer.
Oh, yeah.
Some kind of campaign. And it's just dirty politics.
Yeah.
And man, they're good at it.
Yeah, they,
I mean, that's brilliant. I mean, if you're going to like try to do something to bait us into being just bad actors, then this is a brilliant way to do it. You hit us in the opportunity scholarships and the crisis pregnancy centers, and then you can just write your narrative from there. So that's why I want to talk about it on the show. If you know of someone who works or is with a crisis pregnancy center, if you have a private school in your family like I do, reach out, let them know. They probably do know by now that they don't have to respond to this because it's not an official committee function.
Right.
So that's not something that has actually happened.
Right. Because in order for, I assume the committee would have to initiate any like
usually
like action against somebody. On that kind of stuff.
So usually like the government operations does research and the staff will go in like they did help me with High School Athletic Association, and they'll do research and then they will send out a request for information based on some other stuff. And it's not to this level, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually a situation or one thing that they're trying to get information on. But this is going statewide, acting outside of the honor or the, misusing the letterhead, I guess. I guess, would that be a misuse of letterhead?
I think it absolutely is.
Is it? Well, because it's not specifically excluded, because I was reading the rules. I don't think it's specifically excluded in the rules. That's what I'm saying.
It's kind of
like a citizenship thing. It's not specifically excluded, so it's included. So this type of behavior is not specifically excluded, so that I guess it's included and it's permissible for them to misrepresent the committee's will.
Yeah, and I think there was probably a time when people of good, faith, in these organizations, it was understood that you don't represent yourself as the overall committee and send out, edicts and decrees in the name of the committee.
Sure.
I think it was probably an understood that that's just not how the world works.
Sure.
Obviously, we're not there anymore because they think so. Now you're going to have to pass a rule that's has to paint the letterhead.
Mm-hmm. It's just so awesomely interesting to me because I know there's a bigger play. I'm just want to see what it is, but man, I don't, they're just so good at doing smarmy stuff like this.
Oh, they are.
Good at this. Hey, before we go, I wanted to mention something.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're in your car right now, do not be texting and driving and distracted driving. I went to a, workplace safety function yesterday for folks who work on the side of the roads. Do you know that there were like 33 people who died in North Carolina last year? Or excuse me, 31 people who lost their lives in North Carolina work zones because they were working on the side. Three road workers, 5 pedestrians, and 23 motorists from workplace accidents.
That's awful.
And they said the most of it is just people not paying attention to the road and distracted driving. There was over 170 people killed in North Carolina with 33,000 crashes in work zones from 2019 to 2023.
That is crazy.
Isn't it sad?
That is sad.
It's sad. Nadia's now talking about the near misses. So, I'm guilty. I am guilty of being distracted and driving, and I need to be better.
As someone who has ridden with you, yes,
I know.
You are.
I'm a terrible driver as it is. Hey, I am in the market for a new car that has self-driving ability because I am terrible at it. I'm terrible. But yeah, so if you're listening in the car right now, just think about your own driving habits and make sure that it's not to protect the lives of those who are working out on the roads, because it is such a sad thing to see and sit there and watch the pictures of these faces of folks who have been killed over the years from workplace accidents, and it's just from people not paying attention.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's so sad.
It is really sad.
Yeah.
Any big plans for the weekend?
Yes. Congressional, 10th District, tomorrow, Yakin County.
Oh, that'll be a barn burner.
Yes, it'll be a barn burner. Yes, I'm gonna go hang out with our fellow Republican peeps from the 10th Congressional District and meet and greet and say hello. And then another great organization, the Dove House, has their annual fundraiser. And that's, the Dove House helps sexually exploited children through the process from the time that they are abused until the time that their abuser is jailed. Mm-hmm. Great, great organization. I ask that you support them as well.
Absolutely fantastic organization. Thanks, everybody, for the time. Have a great weekend.
So serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.